Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Always a joy and pleasure to be in context of worship with you. If you will join me for the Trinity Liturgy, welcome home. And why are we here? To worship God. Please prepare your hearts and your minds as we worship God together.
Good morning. I can truly say it's great to be home and sleeping in my own bed. So would you all stand this morning? We learned the song a few weeks ago, and as Dan is doing this series on the Apostles' Creed, we wanted to go ahead and do this song again for you this morning. We believe in Christ the Son.
We believe in Christ the Son.
We believe in the Holy Spirit.
We believe in the Holy Spirit.
We are the church and we stand as one.
We are the church and we stand as one.
We believe in the Holy Bible.
We believe in the Holy Bible.
We believe in the virgin birth.
We believe in the virgin birth.
We believe in the resurrection.
We believe in the resurrection.
Christ one day will return to earth.
Christ one day will return to earth.
Holy, holy, holy is our God. Worthy, worthy, worthy is our King.
All glory and honor are here to receive. To Jesus we sing because we believe. We believe in the blood of Jesus.
We
believe in eternal life.
We believe in eternal life.
We believe in His blood that frees us.
We believe in His blood that frees us.
To become the bride of Christ.
To become the blood of Christ.
Holy, holy, holy is our God. You took the fall and thought.
Time, join me now for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your flexibility this morning. You noticed, I'm sure, the door is closed. We're going to have Monique's reception right after this service and right after the 11 o'clock service, so that's all set up over there. If there needed more chairs, there's several, obviously, in the car loft, so we could bring those out or you could sit up there, but there's some places around. Actually, some over here, there's some chairs and other places. Yeah, the ushers will help you find a place. Also, The altar rail's not here this week. You see on the front of your bulletin, we're going to take out the carpet and put a trench in, a little trench about this. Trench doesn't seem like the right word for something that small. At any rate, put this hearing loop in, and so it's going to be a lot better all the way around. So at any rate, we're glad you're here and welcome. And now we have the joy of the sacrament of baptism for the Nylon family. Would you all come to the front, Aaron and Mike? And the picture of Elsie Stella Nylon is on your screen. It's been a joy to have Mike and Aaron and their family here for the last many months. Pretty soon you're going to North Carolina next weekend. And Aaron's going to start a program there, an MBA, I believe. Yeah. And then Mike's going to eventually get there. Is that the deal? Yeah, in August. All right, and nice to have so many of the family here on this important occasion. Mike, as you know, graduated from Harvard Divinity School, and things are working out for you to do some things up there in North Carolina as well. Good. Let me ask you, do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom, do you? Do you promise as God gives you help to rear your children, and particularly Elsie in God's grace and love as a good example, will you? Will you bring her up under the ministry and guidance of the church so she can come to a deep personal relationship with God, will you? Okay, good. And your friends are Patrick and Kristen. Christian. Thank you, Christian. Yeah. Let me pray over the water. We give you thanks, O God, for the gift of life, this water, remembering Jesus' baptism, and ask that your presence will be in this expression of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll, yeah, just kind of turn her. There you go. Am I saying it right, Elsie? Elsie Stella Nylon, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you always. Can I take her? How old is Elsie? 2.5 months. Oh, good. Oh, man. I think I'm going to keep Elsie. This is awesome. This is... Elsie, are you awake? Elsie, these are your new family. Welcome Elsie, Stella, Nylon into the church. Awesome. And Elsie, the congregation would like to say these words to you. We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Let's sing our song.
Jesus loves you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for you where you'll grow in faith so strong and you'll serve Him all life long. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you.
This week we've had Vacation Bible School, and we are thrilled that so many of Vacation Bible School folks could be here to sing this morning. Dustin, do you need a microphone? Here, I'll get it. And Dustin just got back from a trip to Nicaragua on the mission trip and led the music. Here you go, Dustin.
We had a wonderful week in VBS. Lots of great songs, lots of fun. This morning we're going to sing two for you. One was our theme song, which was Operation Overboard. It was kind of an under-the-sea theme if you got to come in and see the stage. Kids had a lot of fun with it. And then the next one, keep going. There you go. The next one we'll do is called Go Change the World, which was kind of a slower, more serene, meaningful song. And then after that, we'd also like to dedicate a song to Monique McBride, who is leaving as our Children's Ministries Director, and we're going to sing a song that we really know. We sing it a lot. The kids know it really well. It's kind of a theme song for our Sunday school. It's called I'll Do My Best, and it talks about growing in the Lord and serving and praising Him for the rest of our life. So that will be after our two BBS songs. Almost have everybody. We have a really fun interactive DVD that we used all week to learn these songs. So if you feel so compelled, please stand up and join in on the motions. It's kind of fast, but they're really fun. So we hope you enjoy our songs. All right, and our next song we'll do is called Go Change the World. All right, very good. And we have one more song. Like I said, this has kind of been a song that we sing a lot. The kids really like it. They do really great at it. It's called I'll Do My Best, and it talks about we're going to love people, we're going to serve people, and we're going to praise the Lord forever. And we would like to donate this to Ms. Monique McBride, our Children's Ministries Director that is getting ready to leave. So thank you for everything, and this song is for you. Very good. We really appreciate you letting us come in and do this today. And once again, we thank Monique McBride for everything on Children's Ministry's behalf. And would you like to say a few words?
Guys, it's just my pleasure to come and to sing and to be with you today. I don't think you'll ever know just how special each one of you are to me. And thank you to Dustin and Emily and all the wonderful volunteers, Christy Giordano and Christy Cardozo, and all the wonderful work that they do to make this great program that we have at this church. So thank you to each one of you, and it's just my honor to have been in this past week at Vacation Bible School with you, where these kids truly did their best for this church and for this world, and they truly did make a difference. We challenged them to raise, by going home and doing chores, over $1,000 by going home and doing those things. And they raised $1,200 with by going home and doing chores and bringing countless numbers of canned goods and water bottles. So we always tell them, don't ever think that kids can't make a difference, because they truly can. So thank you to each one of you. It's been a blessing to know you and to watch you grow, and I know that you'll do great things for Jesus.
Well, as the children are going out, why don't you stand and turn to somebody who didn't come to church with and say, wow, what a great bunch of kids we got here.
Joys and concerns and prayer of dedication. And of course, I just want to give thanks for the joy that I have had over this past 6 years being your minister and your servant. And thank you to all of you who have touched my life and my family's lives and been there for us. And we appreciate that. And I know that you always have a home church to say welcome home to in First United Methodist of Fort Lauderdale. So when you're going down to the beach, you have to come see me and come to church at First Fort Lauderdale. We have many people we want to keep in our prayers this morning. Lots of friends in rehab and the hospital. Blanche Dierman, Don Bain, Vanna Bradfield, Elizabeth Hobson, and in the hospital, Margaret Garriguse, Brenda Walters, Rose Manuel, and in hospice, James Bondurant. So please do keep them in your prayers, and let us go to God and pray this morning. Gracious God, as the rain comes and washes the ground and brings new life, we thank you this morning for days when we can come and know that each and every good thing comes from you. Know that we can wake up each morning knowing that you hold us in the palm of your hand and that you guide us and bring us to good and wonderful places in our lives. On those days in which we need extra strength and extra help, we know that you are always there and always with us, and you call us to make this world a better place. As we bring forth our offerings this morning, may they go forth in this world to truly do your will and do your best, that others might know of your love and of your peace. May our offerings this morning go forth in this world to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Nan. Nan Gordon, very involved in this church and in the community, plays down at the VA and other places. I know many of you are, maybe all of you are going to go next door after the service and greet Monique and Ryan and their family. I just want to take this personal time, Monique, to say a deep, deep, deep word of appreciation. These past 6 years have been, is it 6 years? And then several years before you went to Duke. You know, it's an incredibly important thing that the love of God, that somebody like Monique is the face of the love of God for these children and presents such a positive understanding of the world, of God's grace. God's grace is involved in who we are from even before we're born. In baptism, God's presence is with us. She did that in so many ways with her smile, her love of food, her creativity, the lessons she wrote, Lentapalooza, and on and on. I think you want to say again, Monique, would you stand and let us just tell you how much we love and appreciate you. Thank you. Seated, and I mean, I wanted to do that just to do it, but it's also a great segue into the theme of this sermon today, because the end we view, the last of the Apostles' Creed, determines what we do. And if we really view life and God and God's power and God's love, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, we'll live one way. If we look at it a different way, we'll live in fear. And it's grateful, I'm really grateful, that this church has this tradition, this trajectory of seeing the love of God present in our everyday experiences, and a belief that we can really change the world. What a great song for this sermon. I'm going to touch on William Wilberforce later, and I'll tell you a little bit more about him. But it's the text, Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And listen to this, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. We believe here at Trinity that we're called to be a part of the healing of the nations. We're called to be a part of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That we're not to be separate from the world, but to be engaged in the world. This comes through the gospel, through the whole biblical teaching, and through the creed. And let's look at the ending of the creed. It's an interesting way of ending the creed. I don't think I would have said it this way, but they didn't ask me back in 200 A.D. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Because this has, I think, mistakenly led us to discussions about whether it's a spiritual body or a physical body. I don't think that's what he's talking about at all. I think he's talking about that resurrection was such a powerful thing. We almost take it for granted now, 2,000 years Christian history. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was this resounding statement that God is all-powerful and that God always has the last word, and God's power and grace and love will ultimately always win. I think what this means is what Paul said in Romans 8, 36 through 39. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's what it means when he says, I believe in the resurrection. It's central. Nothing can separate us. And that affects how we view the world. The United Church of Canada, I like how they say it. And I think it's a great commentary on this. Here's how it ends. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. I think that's what the Apostles' Creed is meaning. Let's look at two other creeds. The Korean Methodist Church. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society. That is to say, God's will is being lived out here. You and I are stewards of that. Like the children, we raised $1,200 to do a good thing. We could change the world because we get into God's wavelength. We believe in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters, so that it's not us against them. It's not this group and that group. It's not that. We're brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness, that God is God, and in the life everlasting. Or finally, how the modern affirmation says it in the next slide, we believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth an example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. So you and I are called to change the world. You and I are called to be a part of a movement to bring about the kingdom of God here on this earth. Some of us were discussing something here recently, and I'm going to quote somebody. I won't mention their name. We were talking. This person said, I grew up in a Methodist tradition. It was a tradition like what this church has had, through Gene Evans and Monique McBride, and now again Elizabeth Jones, leading their children, a face of love towards the world, so that we engage the world in loving ways. This person said, where I grew up, there were other children who were off like this to the world and lived in a fearful relationship to the world. And that's some of that's how you view the gospel, how you view the creed, how you view this ending, because the end we view determines what we'll do. If we believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God, if we believe that we're charged with engaging in God's work of bringing the kingdom of God here and changing the world, bring up the next slide. We'll believe in chickens. Let me show you this. Look at that. It's about chickens. This is a chicken coop in Haiti, in Wanamuth, where this church is involved with Willie O and his orphanage and his school, and Hughes Bastion. Many of you have met Hughes. And this is a group. This is where a group of folks have taken the silk screening so that they can create shirts with logos on them and sell them and have a livelihood. In Haiti, there's almost no sort of career that one can have. And when the last team was down there, Hughes was saying, if you build it, they will come. And they were teasing him about this chicken coop. There are 4,600 chickens there. There are going to be 400 more. That'll be 5,000. If we believe that we're to be involved in the real world, we'll support things that help people like this. I love this picture. I love this imagery. And that's one approach. We'll live with a positive feeling about life. We'll believe that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We'll believe that God has a calling upon us. If we believe, on the other hand, that God isn't ultimately in charge, that love doesn't ultimately win, if we believe Satan is strong and powerful, we'll live in fear. Well, at an extreme, we'll pack up our bags and head to Montana, off to a place in the mountains. But we Methodists are called, we Christians are called, to help change the world, to dig wells, to be involved in things like Kids Count, feeding the homeless, being a voice for the voiceless. At annual conference, Sue Halpert Johnson spoke at the clergy session. She did a really great job of reminding me of somebody I had only known cursorily. His name is William Wilberforce. I want to reintroduce you to him. There's a book now written by Eric Metaxas. Eric is getting to be quite a figure. He wrote the biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He also wrote a book called Amazing Grace. It's the story of William Wilberforce. And I want you to, he's the one who relieved slavery. He destroyed, he wiped out slave trade in England. Let me read you what Metaxas says. William Wilberforce was simply the greatest social reformer in the history of the world. That's quite a statement. Two great objects for his life, as he lived in England in the 1700s, 1800s. Two great objects for his life, the suppression of the slave trade and the restoration of civility and self-respect. Metaxas said, the world he was born into in 1759 and the world he departed in 1833 were as different as lead and gold. Wilberforce presided over a social earthquake that rearranged the continents. He lit a fire that would leap across the Atlantic and affect these United States. No politician has ever used his faith to a greater result for all humanity. He compares him to Alexander Solzhenitsyn and Nelson Mandela in our time. Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln spoke highly of him. Let me tell you just a little bit about William Wilberforce. He was born in the northern part of England. Parents were high society in the Church of England. The church had gotten cold and stale. His father died. His mother became ill. So he was sent far away to Wimbledon in the south of London to live with his aunt and uncle's home. Unbeknownst to his mother and grandfather, Wilberforce's aunt and uncle were at the epicenter of a spiritual renaissance in England known as Methodism, led by John and Charles Wesley, George Whitfield, and John Newton. When Wilberforce's mother and grandfather sent him to live with his aunt and uncle, says Metaxas, they hadn't the slightest idea that they were sending the boy into a glowing hotbed of Methodism. John Newton, you know, the former slave ship captain, turned parish pastor, Methodist, author of the most famous hymn ever penned, Amazing Grace. You see, Methodists believed that they were to do something, to live their faith. We didn't have a well-received beginning. The term of derision then was Methodist. His letters home to his parents, his behavior when he came home to visit, surely raised his mother's suspicion that he might have imbibed some of the fatal waters of Methodism, as of course he had. One of his Church of England uncles stated it this way, if Billy turns Methodist, he shall have no sixpence of mine. Years later, Wilberforce would tell his son Robert, you have no idea what it was like to have been a Methodist in those days. It was a term of derision. His family pulled him out of that uncle's home. Excuse me. And an attempt to decontaminate him, which they did. He went off to Cambridge, lived as lots of college students do, embraced the world. In 1790, at the age of 24, Wilberforce was elected to the House of Parliament, became a close friend of William Pitt. He wanted little to do with Methodism at that time. He said they carried things a little bit too far. They lived out their faith. But the influence of his aunt and uncle from the earliest childhood, those seeds that were planted, came to fruition. They began to take effect. And he had what he calls a great change in his life. 1786. Began slowly. Wasn't overnight. He wrote in his diary this, it seems strange to me that the most generous men in religions do not see that their duties increase with their fortunes and that they will be punished by spending it on themselves. He understood, he came to an intellectual understanding of Christianity and what it meant. And then he wrote in his diary, listen to this, we don't try to scare people into heaven. It wasn't fear. He said it was not so much the fear of punishment as a sense of my great sinfulness in having so long neglected the unspeakable mercies of my God and Savior. That he then had a change. Powerful change. He visited John Newton, a leading figure and a Methodist, who was so anti the slave trade. He imparted that passion to Wilberforce. Wilberforce said he saw somebody who watched him and Newton walk across the common in Wimbledon. And he said, my gig is up. I expect to hear myself now universally given out to be a Methodist. Oh, I long for those days when we who are Methodists were known for what we did. He had a new attitude towards money and time. Before the great change, Wilberforce had reckoned his money and time were his own to do with as he pleased. But suddenly he knew that this could no longer be the case. The scriptures were plain. All that was his was not really his. It all belonged to God and had been given to him to use for God's purpose. So in 1787, at the age of 28 years old, he said this in his diary, God Almighty has set before me two great objects, the suppression of the slave trade, the reformation of manners, civility, self-respect. John Wesley was one of the first to write to him and encourage him and call upon him to persevere. In all these difficulties, what a comfort it is to consider that there is a God, Wesley wrote to Wilberforce. Yea, and still that God has all power both in heaven and in earth. To Him I commit you and your glorious cause. I didn't realize Wesley and Wilberforce were so close. I didn't realize Wilberforce was so entwined with the Methodist movement. And that it was Wilberforce and the Methodists that over a period of 20 years fought and finally won abolition of the slave trade. That's our roots. Those are our history. The very last letter that Wesley wrote, a few days before his death, he wrote to Wilberforce and said this, unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on. In the name of God and in the power of His might, to every, even American slavery, the vilest that ever saw the sun, shall vanish away before it. That He who has guided you from youth may continue to strengthen you in this and all things, it is my prayer. Wilberforce, the Methodist. It's in our bones as Methodist Christians because we believe we're to be a part of what God is doing in the world, to be a voice for the voiceless, to speak up for the powerless, to act on behalf of those in need. God gave Wilberforce two great objects. I wonder if God has given everyone in this room two objects, two callings upon your life that you're supposed to be about that will enhance the world, enhance the lives of other people, that you'll be a voice for those who are voiceless. Oh, what might happen if God would galvanize Trinity United Methodist Church as He did in those early days. May it be so. May it be so. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we recognize that the Trinity does do a lot of things. But I have a feeling, as I read Wilberforce, and that strong identity of Methodist long ago, that maybe I've gotten too comfortable. Maybe I've gotten too acclimated. Maybe you're calling me to two grand objects. Maybe you're calling everybody here. I pray that you will call us as you call the children to change the world, to be a part of the mighty thing that you're doing in this world, and to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus as we seek to be faithful to that which you've called us to be about. We give you thanks for Jesus, this expression of God's love for us, as we, many of us, will receive Holy Communion, be in the bread and the cup. We ask as we make our confession to you that we've not always followed you faithfully, but restore us and renew us for the work you've placed before us. In the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing our closing hymn? Feel free to come and receive Holy Communion if you'd like. We'd invite you to do so. Continue to come. I remind you that reception for Monique is next door after the service, and also after the 11 o'clock service. If you're going to Sunday school now, you can come after that. But you take somebody's hand and receive the benediction. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
Filling us with your love.